Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, May 8th, 2024, and we are reading from the Big Book, page 18 in the chapter There is a Solution, the fourth paragraph, which is the italicized paragraph that the ex-problem drinker through to little or nothing can be accomplished. Our readers today are Penny L.C., who will read the text, Yvonne A., A Vision for You, and Cara L. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Cheryl S., and Shelley E. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, May 7th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,378, and for Thursday, May 8th, the 7 a.m. Eastern, 21,384. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kathy P. to please join us and read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, and thank you for the ability to be of service this morning. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct demands to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service today.
Thank you. And now we'll welcome Joanne L. to the line. Good morning. And Joanne is going to read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Sue. Thank you for your service again and everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island and still working on my recovery one day at a time. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, we ask that everyone's phone be muted except the speakers. Today, we're resuming our study of the Big Book on page 18, fourth paragraph in the chapter There Is a Solution, that the ex-problem drinker, it's the paragraph that's italicized, through to little or nothing can be accomplished. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to begin reading. Thank you, Penny.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. But the ex-problem drinker who has found this solution, who is properly armed with facts about himself, can generally win the entire confidence of another alcoholic in a few hours. Until such understanding is reached, little or nothing can be accomplished. And for me, to get help that I realized I needed, just led by my circumstances that were undeniable, I had to see that no doctor, no therapist, no religious leader, no family member, no friend would be an effective source of support for me. Why would that be? Well, they have no firsthand experience. I need someone who has who has lived and is hooked in, so to speak, who's been, you know, in that problem the same way I was, and has found and lives in the solution. Someone who has done and continues to do the work that can help me to find my way when I am desperate enough to ask and receive. A recovered compulsive overeater who knows their disease and understands themselves in and out of their illness, whether hooked in, but then also freed from their pain. this, you know, recovered fellow has walked the path that I am on now, received clear direction of how to move and has moved to a higher road. Next, they have a mission, a desire to pass it on, to share their experience, strength, and hope, to share their awareness, their acceptance, and their action of their spiritual malady. They are able to relate to me, provide answers, and offer to share those answers with me. What an amazing process that with all of that available to me, I'm able to understand a little bit more about myself, my disease, and have that amazing sense of hope that I didn't have before talking to this fellow. And what a gift, and I'm grateful to have received it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny Elsie, for starting us off this morning. If you joined us in the middle of Penny's share, let me tell you where we are. We're on page 18 in the chapter, There is a Solution, and it's the fourth paragraph in italics, but the ex-problem drinker, ending with little or nothing can be accomplished. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So, if you'd like to give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country you are calling from, I am ready to go. Who would like to share on this fabulous paragraph this morning?
Stephanie S., Washington.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Rohan S.
And Rohan, where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
Thank you. And who goes, somebody after Rohan?
Juanice in.
Good morning, Juanice. I know where you are.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Barbara P. from Atlanta.
Thank you, Barbara P. in Atlanta. Does anyone else want to join this first lineup? Going once, going twice. All right, so I have Stephanie S. in Washington, Rohan S. in New Jersey, Juanice N. in California, Barbara P. in Atlanta. So if everyone could mute their line, and Stephanie S., good morning. Please share with us.
Good morning. This is Stephanie S., recovered compulsive overeater from Washington State. This paragraph resonates with me because I'm a yo-yo in and out of weight loss clinics and diet all for, well, my whole life until I got introduced to a fellow in OA who understood me, and actually she's a professional in like sort of addiction. And when I met her, I thought maybe this is it. And she has been in OA for years, and I spent time with her, and that was what introduced me to the 12 steps here. And when I came in, it was just after being with so many therapists, doctors, people in my religious institution that, you know, were trying to help me. It wasn't until I met this one OA fellow that I felt understood, heard, and I was able to be ready to do anything I needed to do. And my life completely changed, and it's been wonderful. I've been very thankful that I've been abstinent and recovered now, and I'm able to give service. And anyway, that's what I just wanted to share. And I'm neutral around the food, which is really a miracle. Yesterday, being around a whole bunch of my alcoholic foods, and I was feeding them to my granddaughter, not on purpose. I mean, not like I'm trying to give her that stuff, but I just happened to be there and at her house. And thank God I was not. It was wonderful for me to feel neutral. So that's what I'm here and I'm sharing. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Stephanie S. in Washington State. Next, we're going to go to New Jersey, Rohan S. Please join us. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Rohan S. I'm a recovered and grateful compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Extremely grateful for these meetings. It feels like when I jump on Vision for You, it's my medicine for the day. And it helps me keep me neutral and not wanting any food besides what's on my meal plan. And I'm so grateful for that. And because that was never the case. You know, I always wanted to eat anything in sight. There's that joke. I'm on the seafood diet. I see food, I eat it. And I would always never really internally laugh at that joke because I knew how real it was. And on some levels, I was always trying to seek out other people who were like me. I always wanted to, whenever I would see someone that was fat or, you know, I thought, wow, they look like they have a big appetite. They might eat a lot like me. I would always be like, yo, do you love eating too? What's the deal here? Like, how? And I would never get the answer I wanted, you know? It was always disappointing because and it isolated me. Because I'm like, people don't eat the way I do. You know, I love food and I can't stop eating. This is what I thought the deal was. Of course, until I came into OA, you know, armed with the facts can win the confidence. That's exactly what my sponsor did with me. Just in the beginning, taking the time to melt my shell and realize, wow, like this person thinks about food, obsesses about food, eats food, and then on the other end, even restricts food the way I do. The thinking is so similar. I can't believe there's another human being on this planet that associates with food this way. It was, oh my gosh. I mean, of course, my first month of trying to get abstinence was brutal, but there were aspects like that where I was like, wow, I did, wow. That I just felt so comforted, so safe, and I'm so grateful for that. The few experiences I had, the many experiences I had with recovered OA fellows who identified with me. And, you know, I realize now that I'm, you know, as soon as we get into OA, okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much, Rohan S. in New Jersey. Next, we will fly over to California, and good morning to Juanice M.
Good morning, everybody, on A Vision for You today. My name is Juanice N. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and just overwhelmed with gratitude for being in this meeting today and having an opportunity to share my experience with this. But the ex-problem drinker who has found this solution. Oh, my goodness, who has found this solution? This solution, the 12 steps that lead to a spiritual experience and a power greater than myself that solves my problem. That's the solution. You know, I didn't know that, but I do remember that when I realized that I needed a spiritual experience and I got with the sponsor that I have now and I asked her, I said, have you had a spiritual experience? And she told me, yeah. And when she told me about her experience, she had my complete entire confidence. She had my confidence. I was like, oh my gosh, her spiritual experience, the solution she had found, it was clear to me she had found this solution. She shared to me her experience, and then she had my entire confidence.
my entire confidence. I was willing and ready to do anything I had to do to get this merciless obsession off of me that would not let me have, I couldn't have any kind of a life. I had no kind of a life. You know, my life consisted of laying in the bed all day long, finding out which way, how I can just eat all day and night and watch the same TV shows every day. It was so, so small, so, so small. And now that because she had found this solution, she was able to transmit that solution to me through these steps, my life is free. My life is free. And until I had gotten that understanding with someone, when she had gotten my entire confidence, when they say little or nothing could be accomplished, oh boy, that's an understatement. Because I got nowhere. I couldn't get through a day without binging my head off. You know, so, and I'm free. I'm totally neutral around food. The obsession has been removed. I have found this solution through someone else that had found this solution, the X problem eater. Man, this stuff is so good. I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful to be a part of something this great. And that's all. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Anise, and in Southern California. Next, we have Barbara P. in Atlanta. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. This is Barbara P., recovered compulsive overeater in Atlanta. This morning in snowy Montana, it's snowing as we speak, so it's so strange, but just outside Yellowstone Park. You know, I love this paragraph, and the reason being is it so relates to my experience. I just knew I had tried what I thought was everything. I was coming off a OptiFast when I first came in, and I just was like in a food frenzy. I had fasted for a long time, lost a lot of weight, but it's coming back on in numbers that I couldn't have even imagined once I took any bite. Like it didn't matter what it was. Once I started eating, the game was on. And what I heard people say in my first meeting was so critical, because not just were they saying, it was a time when people would stand up and give all the weight losses. So that was meaningful to me. That is why I walked in the door. I thought, well, I just need a better diet. But I also had this suspicion that I was really sunk and that another diet was only going to be a really short-term solution. I could lose weight, but I knew I couldn't keep it off. And so I knew something was really wrong, but had no idea. Had never thought about it being an addiction, didn't really know a lot about addiction at the time. Anyway, but what I heard people saying, I remember somebody saying, I have no off button with food. I don't get full, right? And I thought, ooh, I don't either. And food spoke from cabinets. People hid garbage in other people's garbages. I had done that so many times so that even my garbage men didn't know what I was really eating, as if they would have thought about it or cared or seen it. But I'd compromised so many values. I had thrown things out the window, like littered boxes, because I didn't want to bring it home or couldn't, didn't want to be seen with it. I ate out of my own garbage and stuff that I would take out and think, I'm not doing that again. I'm taking that thing out of the freezer. I'm putting it in the garbage. And the next morning, sucking down the container. I mean, just, you know, and eating down the container, some of it's just funny. And people were laughing in this meeting. And they were telling stories about, like, being so clever eating to exactly the same spot because they were living with someone who knew, and eating, you know, and getting a whole nother one because, of course, they finished the container not thinking they would. Finished the container, went out, bought the same exact thing, ate it down to the same place. I needed to understand that this was an issue with more than me. This was more than a weight issue. And it didn't take more than that first hour's meeting. And I was bothered. I will tell you, I was disturbed. I hated it. I went out of there, I was angry, and I just thought, oh, these people are crazy. But man, I couldn't stop thinking about it because they were speaking
that
my language.
Time, so, Barbara.
Yeah, so I just need to spend an hour with someone and hear their story. And I heard mine, and, you know, 36 years later, I'm here. So thanks. I'm so happy to be with y'all today.
Thank you, Barbara P. from Atlanta, currently in snowy Montana. Okay, before we begin, if you came in, if we go back to the next list, we will in a second, but I just want you where we are. We're on page 18, and there is a solution, the paragraph, but the ex-problem drinker through to little or nothing can be accomplished. Again, a reminder that we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who else would like to share this morning? I am ready for your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from. Please star one to unmute.
Nancy LJ.
And Nancy LJ, where are you calling from?
California.
Thank you.
Mary Ellen T. Mary Ellen T.
And where are you, Mary Ellen?
Oregon.
Oregon, great. And I think I heard a voice I know, but who did I just hear?
Kara L.
Yes, that's what I thought, but just in case. Thank you, Kara. And anybody else? We probably can get a couple more in here this morning.
Christine B., Oxnard, California.
Christine B., walking to work in Oxnard. Okay. I can take one more in this lineup, and then I think we'll finish right on time.
Marcia R.
Marcia
in Washington.
R., where are you calling? Great.
Washington.
Fantastic. All right. So, fantastic. Here's who I've got. I've got Nancy LJ in California, Mary Ellen T in Oregon, Cara L in California, Christine B in California, and then Marcia R in Washington State, I believe she said. So if everyone can star one and mute their line other than Nancy LJ. Nancy, go ahead and please share with us.
Thank you kindly. Good morning, everyone. I'm Nancy LJ, gratefully recovered in Southern California. And I'm just going to pay it forward today. I am 65. I have not been a compulsive overeater my whole life. My story is a little different. I found food at the end of all my isms, and when I hit bottom, trapdoor, bottom, went into a eating disorder clinic at 50, and I hated myself so much. I was in so much shame. I could not even talk. You know, when it came time to share, I just sat there and I remember having a blanket around my shoulders, freezing in there, just kind of had it over my head almost. I mean, I was just cooked. But what I do remember eventually is meeting after meeting is suddenly I realized people were telling my story. And, you know, just gradually, it was unbelievable that I wasn't the only piece of you-know-what.
No, everybody else.
Someone's unmuted. Please star one. Thank you. Sorry about that, Nancy.
That's okay. I started to share. Because of the recovered people that stuck their neck out and shared their mess, and their strength and hope with me, I was able to speak and find my way. And I'm so grateful for that. And this reading just reminds me of those times when the entire confidence of another alcoholic in a few hours, that's what it takes for me to share, me to 12-step, you know, what was it like, what happened, and what's going on today? So if you're struggling and you feel like you're alone, you are not alone. And I think that's one of the beauties of this vision is people are sharing this stuff and their recovery. And so grateful for that. So I think that's it. Everybody have a beautiful day. Nancy J in California, and I'm gratefully recovered. Thank you, moderator.
Thank you so much, Nancy J. in California. Next, we'll go to Oregon, Mary Ellen T. Please unmute and share with us.
Good morning. This is Mary Ellen. T is in Tango, and I live in Corvallis, Oregon. And I'm a compulsive overeater. And I think I wanted to talk about armed about the facts about themselves. And you know, the one thing that I continually have to talk about, and I really appreciate when I hear other people share these messages too, is the lies that my disease tells me. I was listening to the earlier meeting, and somebody was talking about, you know, that their stomach didn't know when they were full, and I could identify with that. You know, she talked about how she just kept eating and eating, even though she was miserable. And that's me. You know, I just keep eating and putting that ingredient in my body. I want to stop. My stomach hurts so bad. I might pause long enough just to allow some of the food to digest, then just to keep packing and shoveling more food in. And just the, you know, a story like that is definitely something that is armed about the fact about myself, and I'm able to share that personalized experience and know that there's some other people in this world that that can relate to that. But what I wanted to talk about too is just about the, am I armed about the fact that I have a disease that lies to me constantly, that tells me I'm a normal eater once I've gotten abstinent. And I heard Harlan G. share in a meeting once about, you know, my disease loves the atypical, loves it when I go out to eat, loves it when I have friends over, loves it when I go on vacation, loves it when I go to barbecue. And I find that very true for myself. I've arrived at this point of reckoning that realizing when I eat outside of an atypical situation for myself, I need to make outreach to another fellow and talk about, you know, who I am, because I have a disease in a mind that has an amazing forgetter, that it can be challenging for me to eat in that atypical situation. I can get too excited. Even if I don't have a spiritual disturbance, I can still get too excited. And then next thing you know, I have some food behavior. I have a food behavior that has popped up that I have to give to God and to surrender. And that's been a growing process for me to realize, you know, this is a constant surrender process that I'm having to do. And so I'm a compulsive overeater, and I have a disease that I am powerless over. And I'm choosing to surrender today and to share that with another fellow. Because somehow when I admit that and talk about that out loud, that helps my disease to shrink and I can be a little
That's
bit more
time,
free.
Mary Ellen?
I pass.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Next, we are going to come back to California to Cara L. Thank you, Cara.
Good morning. This is Cara L, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. You know, I was just... We go to this line, who is properly armed with the facts about himself. And that means to me is I've had to work the steps. I've had to make that searching and fearless moral inventory. I've had to make my amends. What's the most attractive, you know, how am I going to be the most useful? Well, I'm going to recover. I'm going to be in a recovered state, right, so that I can be of service. And I know for myself, if I don't see the recovery, I don't really, you know, I don't really want to trust you, right? Because that's who I am, unrecovered. And how do I do that? Well, I have to ask my higher power every day how I best can serve. How do I serve in this day, God? What do you need of me? You know, how can I be of service? And I heard something early on in my recovery from a speaker who said, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be in a sponsee's life. It might be for one word, one day, 2 weeks, or years. I don't know. So when I've worked the steps and I've stepped from the, you know, the bridge of reason over the shore of faith, and I totally take step three and just say, higher power, whatever, I'm able to be of service. And I'm able just to say, what is it this person I'm speaking to needs from me, God? How can I serve here? And be okay with that. And know that, you know, I'm not going to be of much use if I'm deciding what needs to happen, because in the end, it's my higher power that needs to direct me. And I love that it's in italics here, because if you've suffered like I've suffered, I trust you more. I don't know why. That's just who I am, just a human being. And when I go to meetings and I hear my story and I find identity, when I read Bill's story and I find identity, and then I say there, and then I get to this chapter and it says there's a solution. I believe it and I trust it, and I'm just looking for somebody that has the solution. You know, and that's a beautiful thing today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cara L. in California. Next, Christine B. in Oxnard. Please unmute and join us.
Christine,
hi. So
yeah. Hi. Thank you. Hi. Yes. I was thinking about right now. I just finished my step four, and I'm getting ready to do my step five this Friday. And listening to this paragraph about, I guess my character defect that comes up when I listen is like, I'm so jealous. I wish I had so much recovery and so much skill to convince somebody who's suffering like I suffered, hey, in about an hour, you know, after talking to you, you're going to be on board and we're going to go on this journey together. And that hasn't happened. I've talked to people that are new to program. I try to share the little bit of experience, strength, and hope that I've gotten from this program for which I am grateful now and suspect I will be forever grateful. I found my home here. And oftentimes I listen to people, not so much the vision for you, this is more in-person meetings, rationalize away how they're not going to do program. And it breaks my heart. Personally, my ego, my flaws make me feel alone. But if I stop being in my ego and thinking about my higher power, will just, I guess, hold out hope that this program is a solution and it's there whenever the sufferer is ready. And I guess my part with what my higher power is, just to make sure I too, if I can be of service, am there when the fellow sufferer is ready. I don't really have anything more profound to say than that. So thank you so much for letting me share.
With that, I pass. Thank you, Christine B. in Oxnard, California. Next, in Washington State, we have Marcia R. Good morning, Marcia.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is the first time that I've shared in the meeting. It's really easy for me to sit back and listen to all the wonderful, wonderful shares, and this has just been tremendous. But this paragraph just really spoke to me, so I wanted to share just a little bit. I'm looking at this paragraph, and I know that my sponsor has always reminded me that anything in italics to pay special attention to, and this entire paragraph is in italics. And the solution, as I know, and as it talks about in the big book, is the spiritual experience, that spiritual transformation, the changes that I experienced since being in program that have just been so tremendous. But there's also another piece here that stares at me, and that is those who are properly armed with facts about himself. Before program, I didn't want to know anything about myself, and do not confront me about something that I did or how I hurt you, because I'd go in a shame cycle and I would eat or I'd try another diet. And when I'm learning through working the steps, that I just slowly dig through this, and it is a process. It's not a one and done. I'm going through my eighth step for the third time right now, and it amazes me the things that are surfacing that I just wasn't ready, obviously, to look at in my first eighth step. And my sponsor reminds me it's like an excavation site. You know, the good things are at the top, but if you just stop there, there's a lot of other good things underneath. And sometimes they're in little pieces, and you have to put the pieces together. But it's really a gift for me when I can see my behavior and know about myself so I can learn for the first time in my life to be authentic and be able to share my program with others, which is so important for me to stay abstinent. If I'm in the food and I'm not learning about who I am and forgiving myself, forgiving others, making amends, and all the things that, that require for me to stay abstinent, then I'm not going to be able to help anybody, especially myself. And that is not done without my higher power and without all of you and my sponsor and all my support. So with that, I will pass. Thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Marcia, in Washington State. And before I take the last couple of names, just a reminder where we are, if you came in halfway, page 18, and there is a solution, but the ex-problem drinker through to little or nothing can be accomplished. We probably have time for two more people who would like to speak on this paragraph this morning. Wednesday hump day, people are very quiet. We're walking towards the weekend. We can do it.
Vanessa G.
Who has Vanessa, good morning. Vanessa G in New Mexico. And who would like to join Vanessa in what will probably be our last share of the morning? Sorry, there was somebody sound like with an R name. Someone unmute again and say their name if you just said the name. Sorry. Did I hear Jody E or no? Or yes?
Yes, you did hear Jody E.
Thank you, Jody. Okay, amazing. All right, so I've got Vanessa G in New Mexico and then Jody E. Go ahead, please, Vanessa. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan, especially for your service this morning. This is Vanessa G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. And I can say that, I think, because of ex-problem eaters on this meeting who won my confidence by presenting me a solution within just a few hours. You know, it helped probably that I was really at bottom. But when someone called and suggested that I get on this meeting and I heard these voices that really, you know, just shouted at me, recovery. You know, they shouted at me that they had found a solution. And I don't mean literally shouting me, but it was really something that I was ready to hear finally, and possibly something that I had never heard before. I had gone to a lot of OA meetings. I don't know if there were a lot. You know, there were many ex-problem eaters in those meetings. There were a lot of problem eaters. I've been surrounded by problem eaters my entire life, both in and out of this program. But finding ex-problem eaters was sort of elusive. And so when I found this particular meeting and heard, you know, so many voices that talked about recovery, and then not only on the line, but when I introduced myself as a newcomer, which I really recommend to anybody, so many voices calling me and letting me know that there was a solution to be found. You could not have pried me off of this phone line with a crowbar. I knew that there was something here that I had been looking for a very long time, and I found it. And I hope you guys, anyone who's on the line who's looking for a solution, I hope you stay long enough to find it for yourself too, because it is here. Surround yourself with ex-problem eaters, people who have found a solution, who are living a free and new life. That's what we've got here. And all you have to do is just stick with us. And I really appreciate everyone on the line, everyone who brings this meeting to me and to other people who are seeking the solution. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Vanessa G. in New Mexico, and Jody E., if you could join us and tell us where you are calling from this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan, for your service.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E. in Monterey, California. Oh, I could have just said ditto to what I just heard. I came to OA meetings for 24 years before I found this particular meeting. And I would occasionally hear something that sounded like someone was an ex-problem eater, but not very often. And consequently, I would go to AA meetings because there I would hear people who were ex-problem drinkers, and I could hear the miracle in their voices and see it in their eyes. And I yearned for that. I craved that. As much as I craved my alcoholic foods, I craved recovery. And when I first got on, it didn't take hours. It took one meeting. It took just a few people to say that they were recovered overeaters. And I could hear that in their voices. I could hear the sanity. I could hear the honesty, the truth of that. Didn't take a few hours. It took just a few minutes, really. So we do need that, don't we? We need to hear that and see that in other people, the recovery that we are needing. And this meeting, I don't know, it's like, wow, thank you so much, the founders of this meeting, for their own recovery, for their own dedication. To me, they are just like Bill, who in the hospital had the idea, oh, there must be lots of alcoholics around me that I could help. That's what I'm going to do. That's what the founders of this meeting must have said to themselves. And they knew that the solution and the answer was in this particular book. And I have always felt that about this book, too, from the first time I picked it up. Why I didn't get it, I don't know. Why I didn't read it and take it seriously, I don't know. I needed all of you to guide me through this. And I, too, am so very, very, very grateful that I have a life today beyond the food. And with that, I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, and thank you for everyone. Team Wednesday, being of service, Penny LC, Yvonne A, Cara L. Please stay on with Cheryl S and Shelley E, especially if you need a sponsor and for announcements. And also thank you to Kathy P and Joanne L. We will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Yvonne A, will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you.